Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out this morning. Are you on the line this morning? I think she is. Good morning, Gloria.
Good morning. Good morning. Happy Thursday morning to you.
Happy Thursday.
Good morning, Gloria.
Good morning.
We are so, you know, we are just so thrilled to have you with us this morning and moderating our chat room. And people, I don't know if they really know what the fabulous work you're doing. A lot of people call in or they listen to the archive, but we have quite a few people that follow us in the chat room, and they really get to know you personally. She coaches them, she guides them, she prays with them. You do it all, don't you?
Yeah, pretty much. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, so I just totally appreciate you and wanted to say that. I also wanted to talk about your blog this morning. I just think this is so fabulous. What is the name of your blog, and how can we find it?
The name of my blog is The New Normal. New is spelled K-N-E-W because it's sacred space to touch back with what you already know. So that's the name of it, and it's actually on WordPress.com, so you can just type in The New Normal, and it will, take you to my blog there.
Listen, she's just started, but her posts are so dynamic, and they really just touch my heart. Perception of just simple things that go on from day to day, and then how she breaks it down and applies the spiritual principles to it. It's really, it will be great spiritual nourishment for you. So, we continue to congratulate you on that, and we'll provide a link on Circles of Prosperity to your blog so you can begin getting followers. I just think it's awesome.
She's a very anointed writer. Very anointed.
Very, very anointed.
She writes from the soul.
For a long time I wondered, what is it that I'm here to do and things of that nature. And it was pretty amazing how, I just came across my writing. I look back. I have a bookshelf here, and I have books on it, but I also have a lot of tablets that I've written in over the years. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about my purpose one day, and my eyes just kind of, glanced over at the books that were on my shelf that I had written in. So I it was like a light bulb, and once I, just started to write down my thoughts, it just comes so naturally, as far as the words that I'm using. So, I really enjoy doing that. And, I hope that people who read the blog will also, be able to take away something from it.
Well, I'm sure that they will because it's fabulous. And, the thing that comes so easy for us is our gift, and we tend to overlook it.
Yeah.
And here you were all these years, this wonderful gift, and that comes so easy for you, you don't even realize how valuable it is, and it will touch a lot of people, a lot of hearts. And so we will continue to hold you in the light for your continued success, because it's definitely going to turn into a book. That blog is going to turn into a book.
Awesome.
Okay, so we're going to have Dr. Reggie take us into our morning prayer this morning.
Thank you.
As we breathe in and out, we acknowledge the power moving of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the ability to do all things through the power of the mantle of the Christ. Let us emulate the power and the path that the Christ took and be elevated in consciousness and in deed and word and actions always. Thank you for everybody listening to Circles of Prosperity. Let them therefore prosper and let them find peace and find their talent. And everyone who gives, it shall be given unto them, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing, that they will not have room to receive it. And we believe this principle, and we believe in the source called God to provide everything for the universe and for the world, for everything on the earth as it lives and moves and has its being in the Christ principle as well. An angel spoke to me to provide money oil for those listeners who donate to this station. It's a very powerful, beautifully scented, fragrant oil that's been anointed and prayed over. And I will send it to you, to those who donate to the station, as my gift to you, and you will be richly blessed, believe me. I thank you, Father, for the energy and for everything that comes through here and for all those who are anointed and spoken to in that wonderful, still whispering voice in your heart to give and to receive as equal exchange for everything. We believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is, and so it is. So, you know, we're in a short book study called Even Mystics Have Bills to Pay, and it's about balancing a spiritual life with your earthly living. Really and truthfully, I think it's about how do you apply these spiritual principles of prosperity. And prosperity is not about how I'm going to get rich. Prosperity is about living a life of joy, living a life of peace, living a life where you are not just thrown by the wind, you know, whatever comes up, it just throws you off, that you're centered, you're focused, that you are deliberately creating a life that is joyful and peaceful and fulfilling for you, rather than having one problem right after another. That is prosperous living, is it not? Yes. So as we go back with this particular author, his name is Jim Rosenberge, he's laying out these principles. What I love the most, he's a great storyteller, so he has great stories in here. But the principles remain the same. They have not changed. But the stories allow you to look at the principles maybe just at a whole different little perspective, a different angle on it that will resonate with you and help you to understand the principle even more. Today we're going to talk about, he titles this chapter, What's Your Penny? I title it, What Are You Depending On? What are you really depending on? And he starts with this story about this girl named Antoinette, and she was 18 years old, and she yearned for God. But the world was pressing in upon her because, as was the practice in the 17th century, a marriage was arranged for her, but she longed to be the bride of the Christ. She was looking for her enlightenment. She was looking for her relationship with God. And so at a very young age, she gave herself to God. And at 4 o'clock one morning, she dressed herself as a hermit and took one penny to buy a day's bread, and she left her home. And as she departed, this still small voice said to her, "Where is your faith? In a penny?" And these words touched her, and she released her hold on the penny. And by throwing it away, Antoinette continued not only her earthly travels, but her journey into the kingdom of God. I love that story. A simple penny. And the voice, her inner, her higher self, said, wait a minute. Are you going to trust God? Or are you going to trust the penny? And so my question to you this morning is, where is your faith? Are you trusting your job, your paycheck, the government, your retirement, your pension plan? What are you trusting? Where is your faith? Or are you really trusting the principles that we're studying, the source, God? So as this still, small voice spoke to Antoinette, she realized that the penny was only a symbol of her dependence upon earthly things and a barrier to her realization of the source. And therefore, she cast that penny aside. It may have brought bread for a day, but what about the days to follow? The spent penny would not help her for tomorrow. Only an awareness of the source could provide for her on the days to come. So remember this, God is willing, and it is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. The kingdom is here. The kingdom is at hand, within our grasp, but we hold on to other things. We believe they contribute to our security, but they don't. Just as we cannot serve two masters, we cannot hold to earthly things and the kingdom and call both of them our source. So what is your penny? What earthly things do you mistakenly believe make you safe and secure? What barriers have you erected between you and the riches that are yours in spiritual consciousness? There are many possibilities. Many, many possibilities. So he goes on to talk about humanity's penny. When Antoinette started her pilgrimage, she took one penny when she left home. When we begin our spiritual journey, we initially carry at least three pennies. And we have to discard each one of them. So in the 19th century, I'm just going to read this directly because these stories are so beautiful. In the 19th century, there were many theories about the source of the Nile, and numerous explorers failed in their search for the headwaters. And finally, after arduous journeys, John Haining Speke discovered that not a trickle of water high in the mountains, but a vast source of seemingly limitless water is called Lake Victoria. And we have a similar discovery to make. When an explorer travels in Africa, many provisions are needed for the expedition. They are not a burden, for they sustain the traveler on a day-to-day basis. Our journey is different. Many of the provisions that we carry and view as essential are actually burdens to be shed before the unlimited riches of the present are discovered. So let us look into our pockets, and we will find not a copper coin, but a false way of seeing. So the first penny that humanity must discard of, if it is to experience the riches that are ours in God, is judging appearances. Have you not heard that before in circles of prosperity? Judging appearances. We just call it judging, period. Get rid of the judgment. First lesson from the way of the wizard. No labels, no judgment. And this is how the author describes it. He says, the second is thinking about lack. And the third is holding resentment towards ourselves and others. So there are three principles that he said, three things that we need to get rid of, which are three principles that we have discussed in Circles of Prosperity continuously. Get rid of the label, no judgment, don't be resentful, meaning that we need to move into a state of forgiveness. And the third thing is to stop focusing on lack. There is no lack. Okay? So, let's talk about judging appearances this morning. The classic human error is judging by appearances. Lack of vision hides the truth of being from us in so many areas of the human experience. This is especially true when it comes to prosperity. We falsely believe that people are our source. This begins in childhood because our parents provide for our needs. And most likely many children have heard their parents discussing money and talking about how the lack of money created problems for the family. And it is easy for a child to believe that money brings happiness. And often the more money someone has, the more stuff that person acquires. Dr. Reggie and I can vouch for that. We acquired so much stuff in about 4 years in a brand new house that we moved in with very little. And we didn't have any place to put it when we started moving. It was just stuff. And we have stuff in storage that we haven't touched for months. And obviously we don't need it. It's just crazy. What do we do with all this junk? It's ridiculous. As we grow older and begin our careers, money remains the source. But we no longer look to our parents. We're looking to who? We're looking to our employers. We're looking to the government. We're looking to our customers. They are not the source. And then not only that, when we retire, the source is Social Security or a pension plan or our investments. And money can come from various channels. It may be held as land, stocks, or precious metals, but essentially we must have enough of a valuable thing and then we are safe and secure. We define what will make us safe and secure with things. Just take a deep breath on that. What are you depending on? What are you depending on? So in biblical times, there was a practice that's called the Jubilee Year. It came every 50 years, and land was a valuable commodity during those days. But during the Jubilee Year, something remarkable happened. Land was returned to its previous owner. No one owned the same land for more than 50 years. Isn't that something? And eventually the revelation came upon the people that the earth was the Lord. Dr. Reggie has prophesied that we are going to be moving into a time when no one's going to own any land anymore. And because we have built homes and structures, that those won't be owned anymore. There's going to come a time when you can just pick some place to live, and I guess there's some way that they'll have an orderly way for it to go about, but you can just go and claim that space and live there, live your life there. We don't live forever anyway, do we? So it gets to rotate around. We're moving into a whole new different way of living. So I'm looking forward to that time. It may not happen in this lifetime, in my lifetime or your lifetime, but eventually there will be a shift in how we live, how we share everything that's here, that this whole vibration of greed and what's mine and this fear of lack will dissipate. And you are the beginning of that of that time of bringing heaven on earth. Each of you are the beginning. He says, what if every 50 years we had to empty our bank accounts and give away our assets? We would certainly discover the meaning of giving and receiving. No one would make money his or her life's work. Other priorities would dominate our lives. Money would not be as valuable as we currently make it. In truth, we would discover true wealth to be a consciousness of God. And as long as we've had this, we would be safe and secure. Wow. What is that saying? That's saying, as long as we are aware of who we really are, the gifts that have been given to us, our power to create based on our vision and our words and the actions that we take, if we would recognize that as the source, because those visions are coming from your higher self, equaling and meaning source, equaling meaning God. Those passions, those desires, those gifts, they allow you to create an avenue for your needs to be met. If you are not living that way, then you're living someone else's life, aren't you? And that's what we've basically done. We've sold, we've given away our power to corporations, basically. Corporations and the government. And that's not to say that I think that corporations are bad. I think that you can express your gift through a corporation, but you need to be aware of your consciousness. You need to be aware of God as your source. Okay, so let us cast aside the penny that declares something or someone other than God as our source. Can we continue our journey into the kingdom without doing that? I don't think so. So we need to listen to the quietness of our souls. And we will hear the still small voice saying, where is your faith? In a penny? In your job? In your pension plan? In the government? In a person? Will we cast aside this penny? Do you have the courage? It takes courage. I was telling Dr. Reggie this morning, I said, sharing with him the story, and I said, you know, as soon as I got to the part where it says, you know, where is your faith in a penny, and I've shared this story with you guys, but it reminded me of the moment that I had that still small voice saying, you can take this job, but it will be out of fear. And it was a profound moment in my life because I knew either I had to stand on these spiritual principles mm-hmm. and move and have my being in God, in truth, at that moment, or it would never happen. I would continue to go down this path. It was something that simple that changed my entire life, at this stage in my life. It shifted me completely. And actually, as uncomfortable as things can be when there's appears to be no flow of, quote, money, I never lie awake at night worrying. Because I know that God is my source and God loves me. And everything is going to be okay. And all of this is a learning experience. So what I'm saying to you this morning is that when you make this decision, it's easy to make the decision. It's a little more challenging to live it. But all is well. Your faith only grows. Your faith only grows. And that is, you feel so powerful from that space of knowing that you will always be taken care of. You don't know how it's going to happen. You don't really care, do you? You just know that it will be done. You just know that it will be done. Okay, so the second one that he talks about, the second penny that we have to get rid of is that of thinking about lack. When we believe something other than a consciousness of God is our supply, we eventually hold in mind thoughts of lack and limitation. We're constantly looking at what we don't have. And it's amazing to me that we can see every problem that contributes to lack. And we spend every moment, waking moment, talking about the lack. Rather than declaring. Even when people are looking for a job, they won't tell you what job they want. They'll say, I don't want to do so-and-so, and I don't want to do so-and-so. That's why I crack up on them. I said, well, what do you want? And you know what? When you ask them what they want, they start stuttering because they have practiced lack, limitation, over and over and over again. And if they're not telling you, they're thinking it on their own. They're laying awake at night repeating it over and over. What do you want? Not what you don't have. What do you want? He tells a story about a friend that he has that experienced deprivation and lack with great regularity. He says, often I told him that he was looking at the hole in the donut. There were blessings in his life, but during the darkest times, his attention was upon what he did not have, what he lacked. This was his focus, and what he manifested in his life was lost. What does Dr. Reggie say? What you focus on expands, meaning what you focus on, you're going to get more of it. I don't want a job that's like this. You're going to get more of a job that's like that. What do you want? Even Jesus says to us, from him who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Because the have-not consciousness can produce only one thing, loss. You know, I'm not going to even expand on this anymore because I think that's so profound. I love the way he says it. The have-not consciousness can produce only one thing, loss. So the next time that you're sitting around saying, I don't have, I wish I had, if I only had, all of those are thoughts of lack. Just know that you're creating lack. I can't say it any better. So I'm not going to try. That's the bottom line. We may try to live a dream, but our thoughts betray us. They are not all positive, even though we know the impact that negative thinking has upon our experiences. This guarding of our thoughts can become its own prison. Positive thinking is a good beginning and a part of a rite of passage, but there is more a more excellent way. A consciousness of the source must rise up from within us, and then we are free. And I tell you, the best, well, I'm not going to say the best way, but for me, the turning point was when I had the courage to release what I thought was my source. To release a job I thought was my source, because God is my source. So he tells a story about this mystical lore that speaks of watering a garden. He says we can carry water to the individual plants and the garden will grow. But it is laborious work. And another option is to construct an irrigation canal and send the water from a nearby stream to our garden, and it will begin to thrive. But a garden is watered best when it rains, because that's God's way. An awareness of the source rising from within like a shower upon a parched land. And so as we go through this book study, we will address the building of the irrigation system and how to invite the rain. Because when the rain comes, we will cast aside the penny of negative thinking, which denies us our prosperous life. Aren't you looking forward to that? That's going to be great, huh? Okay, so the last thing, his third penny is about holding resentment. And, of course, here on Circles of Prosperity, we talk about resentment. But we use it in terms of perfect love. We say we need to get rid of the resistance, the anger. All of these are resistance. And once we remove the resistance, then we are moving in perfect love. And that's where he's going with this. Of course, the path to that is forgiveness, is it not? Yes. So he says, God is our source, and a consciousness of God, an awareness of God, is our supply. However, resentment stands as a barrier to that prosperity. God is love. And when we are filled with resentment and anger, we cannot feel the love that is our nature and that perpetually enfolds us. Anything that shields us from the consciousness of God separates us from our supply. Take a deep breath and close your eyes. And what are you angry about? What are you resentful of? Where are you harboring jealousy, envy? All of those things are holding back your prosperity. And so we need to work on getting rid of them. It separates us from our supply. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said, "And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." And it appears that this verse says that God does not forgive us as long as we do not forgive others. But the truth is, God does not forgive because God is love. How many of us grew up in a church thinking, oh my goodness, I got to live, if I don't live right, if I don't, you know, and God will forgive me if I just confess. And I tried to get you guys to see that forgiveness is not about something you do for someone else. It's about what you do for you. You're not granting the person who has wronged you some forgiveness. You are really forgiving yourself for harboring the feelings. And it's not God that is saying, okay, you're a good girl now, Cynthia, because you've done this. It's you really awakening to the God in you. You're unfolding and allowing the God in you to be revealed. It's all about you. Those feelings are covering up the love, the divine essence of you. And as you release those feelings, then you are unveiling that love that is in you, that divine essence in you. This is about your healing. So we have the whole concept of forgiveness distorted in this world because we think we spend too much time looking outside of ourselves when everything is going on the inside. Creation even begins from the inside. That's why Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is within. Your bliss is within. Your joy, your peace, everything that you are seeking is within. It's not in the car. It's not in the women. It's not in the fur coats. It's not in the money. It's not in your investments. It is within you. Because why? Listen, all of that stuff, in a couple of years, it turns to junk. Look how quickly the most valuable thing we had, our home, look how quickly it turned into nothing. All it took was fear to run throughout this country, throughout this land, and property values turned to crap. And we're still struggling to get out of it because we're in bondage to fear. Why? It's because of the lessons we're learning right now. Our faith is in the penny. Even though the penny says, written on it very clearly, in God we trust. Nope, we trust in that penny, that copper penny. You need to let it go and move into the consciousness, and which equals and means the awareness of your true self. I personally believe the reason we're going through this desert right now economically in this country is to bring us back to the truth. That's what led me to teach Circles of Prosperity. You need to know the truth. And so, you know what I say now? I say, thank you, God. Thank you for this difficult time. It is waking us up to what is really valuable. How many of you have better relationships with your family now? How many of you are more consciously aware of what you spend and that you are only getting what you need and not all these others? How many of you are seeking a relationship with God now? Seeking to understand your personal power, to no longer be victims? Yes, I am thankful, because when you move into this reality, when you move into this truth, it won't matter what the economy is. You will know where your source is. The stock market can go up and down. Oh, well. And if you're really in tune and you're investing in the stock market, you'll know when to invest and when to take your money out if you're aware of your source. And in tune with your higher self, you will know. So it won't matter. I'm telling you, I can't even say it. This is a wonderful way to live. I'm going to open the floor right now. I'm going to close out the lesson here. I have a few minutes. If you just really are itching to say something this morning, I want to hear from you. Press 1 on your telephone keypad. Okay. So listen, I want to tell you guys something about, here we have a caller. Oh, I know who this is. Hey, Cody.
Good morning, family.
How are you, baby?
Oh, my gracious, that is powerful. That's a powerful message. and I was sitting here and I was just thinking how from not having, as you get older, you don't have lack comes into play, and you may not have properly prepared for your pension or for these days. As for me, I really didn't think I was going to live to get this old based on the life that I lived previously. So I didn't prepare for it, you know. I just didn't think so. And I see it every day as I watch young people who just like life has no real meaning to them. That's why they can take it, and that's why when they lose theirs, it's okay. I don't know. I never asked them. But I'm sure that a lot of that comes from being not prepared for the future. You spoke of pension, but you have to be prepared for those kinds of things. And we were never taught that, at least in my household, about we were never taught that. We were taught that, you know, you work hard and you get it, and whatever you do. But when it was all over with, you know, no one told us the value of money and how to respect it. And so, therefore, we don't have it. We're panicking, you know. I'm sitting here now deciding what should I do, you know what I mean? It's always that kind of thought running through. And sometimes we have the tendency to blame God when things don't turn out quite like we think they should.
That's right.
And we do that, you know. Quick story, I took that test for that waterfront job, and I didn't pass it. And I think it's been about 2-3 weeks ago today, and I seem to feel that, you know, I got a little resentment. I didn't take into account my age, my lack of experience, and everything else. All I knew, I didn't pass the test.
Right.
And so I guess I can be honest and say I have some resentments about that, because I needed to get out of this situation I'm in. I understand about lack, but believe me, it stays up front with me. I want to believe everything, and I close my eyes and I count to 10 and I say everything that, you know, lack is not important. It's not a lack, you know. And I realize that my father has 1,000 cattle on a hill. I realize all of that. But when you're by yourself, and at the end of the day when you're thinking, this is when you really need to have confidence, I think that's the word I'm looking for, the belief, you know. And I don't know. I may not be coming across quite correctly, but I know exactly what I'm saying.
I hear you, and I totally understand where you're coming from. It's not easy. You know, when we've spent so many years in one consciousness, and even now, when I hear the things that you're saying, you know, there's fear there about how you're going to make it, and that you haven't, and then you are beating yourself up that you haven't put money away. But this whole lesson today, and the principles that we're teaching is, first of all, don't rely on the money. You're relying on God. But that's number one, understanding that God is your source. I have 90 seconds to go here. And we will probably be a little extended. I want Dr. Reggie to go into the closing prayer. Okay. And I will talk to you as soon as he finishes closing prayer, so that everyone who's listening to the stream can hear the prayer.
Heavenly Father, we ask that everybody listening will be blessed and encouraged by the beautiful word. Thank you, God, for the power of understanding. Let us not lean to our own understanding, but to you, who provided everything for the world in our lives. Let's learn to trust you and not lack, to respect the energy of prosperity and the energy of money and what it represents, not to worship the money, but to understand it and how it's supposed to be used for the highest good. We believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. So, Cody, what we're saying to you today is that, okay, first of all, you have spent a tremendous amount of time focusing on all the errors and the things that you don't want to experience. And my question to you is, what is it that you do want? And how much time do you focus on what you do want?
That's a good question, very good question. And my answer to that is I'm focusing by being under the weather and being home by myself. I'm focusing on a lot of what I want. But I tell you, when you're hurting, when you're going through some pain, and then you're like lonely, if I can use that word, and you're kind of just, you're, nothing seems like it's kind of gelling, you know what I mean? And you put a lot of confidence in. So what I want is peace of mind, happiness, prosperity, and health and love, you know. And I know that's in that order, not necessarily in that order, but those are the things that I want, you know.
So my suggestion for you is to write those things down and put it and paste it all over your house and put it write it on a card and put it in your wallet. And make a ritual. You know how in the morning, what you get up in the morning, you have a ritual probably in the morning. You brush your teeth, take a shower. Add to that ritual speaking the things that you want. And do it as many times during the day as you can. Wherever you're doing something that's kind of normal or ritual for you, add this last step, that the things that you desire for your life, that you begin speaking them. And whenever you have these feelings of resentment and fear and regret, pull that little card out of your wallet and proclaim what it is that you do want.
Right.
That's the beginning.
Okay.
That's the beginning. And that means you just have to say, stop it, and proclaim what you do want.
Exactly. Because that negative thoughts will seep through there, you know. I tell you, like, when they say about, you know, idle mind is the devil's workshop, you know, a lot of those things that Elton used to say 100 years ago seem to be coming true now, you know, because you have time to reflect back on those things, you know. And
Well,
anyway, that's a very good suggestion, and I'm going to take it.
Please do, because that's the only thing that will change it. And eventually you'll just begin to catch yourself, and you won't have to look at these, you know, what you've written down. But you have to start and add to that list that God loves you and that God is your source. Not these things that you're seeing around you, not all the problems, that God is your source.
Yes. Thank you.
And you have to continue to repeat it, baby. There's no easy way.
I know
you have to do the work.
Okay.
All right. I love you.
I love you more.
All right, Chris. I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Peace, love, and blessings.
Love and blessings to you, too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Listen, guys, I love you so much. I love you so much. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Let me give you an affirmation for today to carry with you. I release all that stands between me and an awareness of God. I release all that stands between me and an awareness of God. So it is. God bless you. Don't forget tomorrow, 4:00 Friday, okay? Gonna have some fun. God bless.